And there it is, a swing and a miss, strike three. And the Cubs win the ball game, and they are over 500 for the first time since May 28. The final, Cubs 9, Pirates 5.
Wait a second. It's been since May 28th when they were actually over 500?
Yes.
It was like June 5th when they were 500.
It's wild, too, because when you look at the wild card standings, I remember when the Cubs got together with the Mets, and the talk had been earlier, well, you know, the Mets are trash, so they'll just trade away Polar Bear, and then the Cubs could just get Polar Bear, and everything would be fine. Then they had a meeting, and now the Mets are right there. Now people are wondering, can they catch Atlanta for that last spot? Because they're three out, and then the Cubs are 2.5 behind them. So it's amazing. Like, that's the beauty of how long a season is.
Did you mean to make the pun with the Mets and say amazing? Was that a thing you meant to do?
I did not mean to do that, but I appreciate you acknowledging it.
And then there's the backdrop of what's happening on the South side. Okay, but here's the thing to me is that's why this third NL wildcard spot, and I specifically emphasize the National League aspect of it, is so it's so compelling, but dangerous, but compelling. And then the Cubs, you know, it's like dangled in front of teams to where they're, quote, competitive, if you will, end quote. But then it also doesn't quite define if you can have success. Like, as we've said before, the wild card in the AL West is a lot different from the third wild card in the National League. The wild card coming out of the NL West is going to be a lot different. The record's going to be better. They're playing better. The smoke and mirrors that goes into trying to have a prayer for this hope with this roster, I think, is a much different discussion, especially after what they did yesterday with Drew Smyly placing him on waivers. Do you want that guy to help your team make a playoff run or somebody else? What happened there?
The numbers are so daunting that while the dugout is still playing for something, I'm not sure the front office is. The Cubs are 6 behind the Braves in the loss column.
There it is.
6. They're 3 behind the Mets. But think about this.
They could have had Grimace throughout the first pitch, Cubs. No!
They're 6 out. There's 6 out of that wild card in the loss column. The chances of this are infinitesimal. They're infinitesimal. And I think that's how the front office is looking at it.
Well, okay, that's fine. I also think that the front office is looking at it as a way to shed salary so they can get under the CBT. So
we've really got to figure out whether or not that was an accident.
Being in the CBT this year?
Correct.
No, I think they looked at it that way. My guess is they said, look, if we're out of it, we can get back under. And they think they're out of it. To me, it's kind of binary. I don't think it was an accident. I think they said, okay, well, let's be in it. But they have to make this difficult decision now because they have to kind of send that message to the teams like, we don't think you're in it. Because they're working across purposes. I think we're seeing it right in front of us.
And Ed, listen, before the waiver trade deadline, I think, stopped being a thing, you saw a lot more players like Drew Smyly from playoff hopeful teams get put on waivers. Like, that was a lot more common. But now, when there was a huge group of people asking why he wasn't traded at the deadline, for example, then it's a question I'm going to bring up. Because, again, these are actions that kind of dictate where you think you are as a team.
I'm rooting for the players.
Of course.
I'm rooting for them to because if you look at what Amaya, Swanson, Crow Armstrong have done over the last 30 games, there is clearly improvement that's happening with those players. So that's good. And if they want to keep fighting, great. I'm here for a stretch run of excitement for this Cubs team. But I do think there's a lot of stuff that the front office has done that can be dismissed and argued away, that I feel like they're starting to play with the budget a little bit. And I don't know if we should trust anything that those two guys say about this roster when it comes to talking about the CBT and next year, because it seems pretty clear to me that they want to make sure that they don't get that 30% tax by going over the tax 2 years in a row. And it's why I felt that way about the lighter move. It's why I feel this way about the Smiley move. I don't think that either one of those moves made your team better.
It didn't. I think there's no question. I think it's obvious what's going on, and I'm rooting for the players too. But I see what's happening here, and I see that they are, and they're probably right. That the front office is probably right.
They don't have a history of being right.
I don't know, man.
And I think we give them too much credit for being right when they haven't proven that they're right about a lot.
Look at how many players they're paying right now who aren't even on the team.
No. I'm not saying right
Look about that money.
I'm not saying right about individual decisions. I'm saying right that,
be done.
That this team's not. It's just very unlikely this team's making the playoffs. And if they've made that call, you don't need all the proprietary metrics to know that. It's just this is threading a needle right now, and it would have to be a crazy all time run. And I think they're saying, look. If it is, everybody wins anyway, and then nobody cares. But what I'm saying is I think it's okay if the dugout feels some resentment.
Of course, because here's the thing. Look how different this team is when Ian Happ, Dansby Swanson, Miguel Amaya, by the way, and Pete Crow Armstrong are producing. It's night and day when the people that you thought were going to produce on this team are doing that. And you don't need everybody hitting it at all times. We don't talk as much about the fact that they traded for Isaac Paredes, and that has not been an ideal result right now. They're 16-8 since July 31st. They didn't get there by happenstance. They got there because the people they trusted and are paying finally started to come through in a way that was expected.
And whoever has been charged with developing Amaya and PCA seems to be doing pretty good work.
And give Craig Counsell credit too. To give a player 2 days off to go rework a swing, like that is significant. That's a big deal, and I'm glad that he did it.
And Coom told Mullion Hall last week that he was there in the cage with him as well. Craig Counsell was a part of that.
Like, as if
not needed, just giving the days off, but they're present.
As if we needed another reason to buy Coom a beer, man. How many are we up to now?
Wait, 9 million? He owns the restaurant. So? He should buy all of us beers. I mean, it's his restaurant.
If he had something to do with this, or at least can confirm it, like, yeah, Coom drinks on me.
And they have the magic candle. So we know that the power of Taylor Swift is carrying them to victory.